Well, Happy New Year, everybody. I can't think of a better way to spend New Year's Day than at church celebrating and worshiping God on the first day of the year. I just can't think of a better way to do it. Especially since they did away with all of the bowl games on New Year's Day, since they messed all that up. I'd rather be in church anyway, all right? Hey, we are glad you're here today. I'm just so excited about this new year. There's lots of anticipation in my spirit about what God is going to do as part of our church and in your life. And so today I want to take a few minutes and talk about that. And I want to encourage you. We're going to do our offering at the end of the service. We're going to make a presentation to the Angel Care Board that are here today. How about that Christmas offering, by the way? How about that? Pretty awesome. And why don't we do it in the single busiest weekend of the year? You know, let's just do that. I'm just so proud of you guys and all that God has done. And I'm just so proud of you and just proud of what God's done in your hearts and lives. But how many know 2017 is a new year? It's a new opportunity. It's a new season for us. And let me go ahead and make a declaration for you here today for everybody. And I want you to write this down in your notes. 2017 will be the best year of your life. Anybody receive that today? 2017 will be the best year of your life. There is an if there. If it's the best year of your life spiritually. 2017 will be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. Today and for the next few Sundays, all the Sundays in January, I want to talk to you about the power of first, the principle of first, the importance of first things. Now, the Bible has a lot to say in both the Old Testament and the New Testament about things that are first, about who is first in our life, about what to give to first, about priorities in our schedule and everything. And so the order of things is important. It's not just about adding things to our life. It's about doing them in the right order. Now, and there is a powerful principle all throughout the Bible, and I call it the principle of first, that leads to, get this, it leads to unexplainable favor in your life. Anybody want unexplainable favor in your life in the new year? I'm raising my hand. I'm raising both hands. Me, Jesus. Ooh, Arnold Horshack right here. Ooh, 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 ooh. Me. I want unexplainable favor in my life in the new year. Well, this is why this principle is so important. And I've talked about this many times over the years here at our church because it's that important. It's that critical. Now, what's the principle of first? We're going to talk about this every Sunday in January, but I want you to write this down. What we do first determines our capacity. What you do first determines your capacity. I'm going to illustrate that next week. And then what we do first communicates priority. What's important to us? What do we value the most? We do that first. So what we do first communicates priority. And then this is important because the principle of first means what we do first impacts everything else in our lives. That's the principle of first. And so I want to show you over the next few weeks how this impacts your schedule, how it impacts your budget, your relationships, how it will impact your work, your kids, your family, because this principle applies to every area of your life. And matter of fact, it's very pivotal to any resolutions you might make in the new year, because this principle of first actually gives power and energy to the diet, to the budget, to that thing that you want to do or you want to accomplish in the new year. Because it's really important how we order our life. You're going to hear me say this over and over again. The order is important. Say that with me. The order is important. So today's message, we're going to start off today with this question. What do I do first? That's a great question to ask on the first day of the year, right? What do I do first? Because today's not just the first day of 2017. How many know that it's the first day of the rest of your life? Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Now, the problem is, we don't know exactly how many days are left in our lives, right? Or do we? How many of you have heard of the website deathclock.com? It's a real website. I don't encourage you to go there at all, but there's a website called deathclock.com, and I love what it says underneath the title. It says, it's the internet's friendly reminder that life is slipping away second by second. You know, it's very foreboding, it's black, and it's all this kind of stuff. And the way it works is, you enter your birth date. You are you male or female? How tall are you? How much do you weigh? It gives you your body mass index. Do you smoke? Do you not smoke? Are you a pessimist or an optimist? So how many know being a negative person's killing you? Okay, so there's your word for the Lord right there. You don't need anything else. But you put in all of this information, and then it spits out your approximate date of death. It's a very encouraging website. And so I plugged in all my information, and my personal day of death is Friday, July 3rd, 2060. Yeah, thank you very much. Which means I'm going to be 90 years old. Apparently, I'm living right. I'm not sure about that, but I'm going to be 90 years old. And I've got 43 years left, according to the website. Now, we all know God's the one that numbers our days, right? But the website said, as of Friday, when I checked, I have 1,374,573,567 seconds left in my life. And the morbid thing about this site is it's counting down. That's why I didn't check it this morning before I preached this message. Now listen, now that may seem strange to us or even morbid to us to think about our date of death or the end of our lives, but I want you to understand this is right in line with what the Bible teaches. So, Pastor, what are you talking about? There's lots of verses in the Bible about the end of our lives. Look at this, Job chapter 7, verse 6. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. I'm not sure what that is, so let's keep going. And they come to an end without hope. Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath. And then Job 9:25, my days are swifter than a runner. They fly away without a glimpse of joy. Now, how many of us would say, you know what, I feel the same way as Job. It seems like time is flying. I mean, weren't we just here last year? Didn't that just happen? And I thought it was just me getting older. You know, that time seems to be flying. But my youngest son, Elliot, and I were having a conversation a couple weeks ago. He was taking finals, and he's like, Dad, it's just like we just did this. I can't believe this. And I'm like, if it's going fast for high school sophomores, we ought to be paying attention, right? Things are flying away. And so here's what Psalm 39 says. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that, say this with me, my days are numbered. Let's say it again. My days are numbered. Aren't you glad you came to church today? I'm just encouraging you. My days are numbered and that my life is fleeing away. My life is no longer than the width of my hand. An entire lifetime is just a moment to you. Human existence is but a breath. Amazing stuff. And then James chapter 4, verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Are you encouraged yet? Your days are numbered. I'm 47 years old, and this past year, Tracy and I celebrated 25 years of marriage. And this coming May, we will mark 20 years as the pastor of this church. It's amazing. You know, in many ways, it seems like 20 years. And in other ways, it seems like yesterday. It's just an amazing thing. But, you know, as you get to be a little bit older, you start to think a little differently about time. Because I've gotten to the point in my life where less and less I'm thinking, well, one day I'm going to do such and such. And especially after I visited deathclock.com, I started to think about, you know, how much time do I have left to accomplish what God wants to do in my life? Because God's not done with me, He's not done with you, and He's not done with our church, amen? Matter of fact, there's a stirring in my spirit. There's an anticipation that we're going to see even greater things in the days ahead. And I don't know what's happened to me in the last few months, maybe the last year or so, but there's just something that I hate wasting time. It's like there's like a fire in my belly. It's like I'm antsy. Ask my staff. They will tell you in the last 6 months, I've kind of turned up the heat around here. Because there's an anticipation. There's an urgency in my spirit. There's some sort of drive in my heart because the scripture says time is short. And that's why I said in Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, how many know wisdom is different than knowledge? You know, it's not information. Wisdom is not information or knowledge. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge. Now, what's going to happen today and over these next few weeks, I'm not going to tell you a lot of things that you don't know. But I want to, I'm encouraging us, and the Word of God is encouraging us to have wisdom. Let's take what we know and put it to use in the right way. Because a lot of us know what to do, we're just maybe not doing it. We have values, things that we say are important to us, but are we living according to those values? Now, how many know whatever we have a lot of, we tend to squander? You know, if you have a lot of food, you tend to just squander it and waste it and give it away. If you have a lot of money, you're just not as careful with it many times. If you have a lot of time, you just waste our time. But how many know what you have little of, you're much more careful with? If you have just a little food, it's amazing what happens. If you have just a little money, you're careful about every single decision. How many understand what I'm talking about? And so, you know, listen, God says, teach us to number our days so that we can live with wisdom, so we can put things in order, so we can determine what is first. Because remember, whatever we do first determines the rest. Whatever we put first influences the rest, and whatever we give priority to is going to determine the rest of our lives. I hope you're with me. So here are the goals of these next five Sundays. And I want you to write these down if you don't mind. Throughout this series first, I'm going to challenge everybody to put first things first. Make sure the most important things are the first things in our lives. And let's not allow the clutter of our lives to overtake the rest of our lives, but let's put first things first. And let's give focus and energy to the things that really matter. And I'm going to make the case to you that the things that really matter are the eternal things. Let's make sure that our lives are focused on the things that last, the things that really matter, the eternal things, and then do it now. Let's do it now. Let's live with a sense of urgency, knowing that our days are numbered. Come on, somebody. That's the challenge. Those are the goals of this series. So let's answer the question, what do I do first? As we face this new year, and as a lot of people have made resolutions about, you've set some goals maybe for your health or your finances or your family or work or business or school, but what do we do first? Because what we do first determines the rest, impacts the rest, influences the rest. And so I want to encourage you right here on the first day of the new year is that let's make sure our resolutions are centered around things that last, things that truly matter, spiritual things. Because it's the spiritual part of you that fuels the rest of your life. It's the spirit man inside of you that gives power and strength to the diet, right, to the financial decisions, to the to whatever you're focusing on, or to getting out of debt, whatever you're focusing on this year. If you don't give attention to the spiritual part of your life, how many know you're not going to have the energy or the will or the strength to do those other things that you want to do? Are you getting this? you are not a physical being having these weekly spiritual experiences. Listen closely. We are not physical beings having these weekly spiritual experiences. We are a spiritual being having a temporary physical experience. How many know it's the spirit part of you that's going to live forever? It's the 200 and some odd pounds of us that's not going to last forever. But how many know we get our priorities mixed up? We spend all of our time and a lot of our energy focusing on the things that don't last. But if we focus the first on the spiritual things, it will fuel the rest. It will bless the rest. It will help us accomplish the rest. How many are with me here today? And so how do we do that? What do we do first? Write this down. Turn when into now. Turn when into now. One of the problems we have is we say, you know, when this happens, then this will happen. You know, when I make more money, I'll get out of debt, or I'll tithe. Or when I get married, I'll get serious about sexual purity. Or when I have kids, I'll do this. Or when the kids get older, I'll be more serious about church. God sent me here to tell you something. The time is now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. It's right now. Turn your when into now. If you're here today on the first day of 2017, this is a word from the Lord for you, because if you're not following Jesus today, now is the day of salvation. Right now, today, not next month, not next week, not next year, today, give your heart to the Lord. Give your heart to Jesus. It's the most important decision that you'll ever make. Now is the day of salvation. And if we're going to put God first, we've got to turn when into now. Don't say, when this happens, then I'll do this. Do it now. Here's the second thing that we're going to do. Turn intentions into actions. Let's turn our intentions into actions. Now, most of us have good intentions, right? We want to do this, we want to do that in the new year, but we don't always turn it into action. That's why most of us need some help. We need someone to motivate us. We need someone to encourage us. That's my job as your pastor. My job in your life, my call in your life, is to cast vision into your life of what God wants. To encourage you, to care for you, to be your spiritual coach, so to speak. And how many know the job of a coach, a lot of times is, you know, here's what you can accomplish. Here's what we can accomplish together. And then there's the pat on the back, and sometimes there's the kick in the pants. Are you getting this? My job is to help us turn our intentions into actions. Because everything I'm encouraging you to do today, we already know we should do. We just need some motivation to do it. We need some action steps. We need a plan. We need a goal, right, to do it together. So let's turn our intentions into actions, because James says, anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. That's serious business, right? So today and in the next few weeks, I want to invite you into a spiritual revival. I want to invite you to join me for a personal revival in your life, a time of renewal in your heart and your mind and in your spirit, a transformation, if you will, of your life. And I guarantee if we will do what God asks us to do, your life will change. Your 2017 will be different than any year before if we put God first. Come on, somebody. Now, how many know we can't do it on our own power? We're not going to be able to do what we need to do now. We're not going to be able to turn when into now or turn our intentions into actions until we do this. We need to focus on power, spiritual power. Now, look at what Peter says. Peter wrote this letter to followers of Jesus, and he says, the end of all things is near. Now, if he wrote that 2,000 years ago, how many know it's even closer now? I personally believe that the end of all things is near. Have you been watching the news the last few days and couple weeks, particularly concerning Israel? The attempt to divide the land. God has some very specific things about the nation of Israel, but all prophecy specialists will tell you that everything rises and falls on Israel. And so whenever Israel's in the news, you ought to be paying attention because it's a sign that the end is near. Can I tell you that there are no other signs yet to be fulfilled before the return of Jesus Christ for his bride, the church, in the rapture? There are no signs yet to be fulfilled. So the end is near. Anybody here today believe that? So Peter says, therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so you can pray. So you can pray. Listen, there are a lot of things that we want to accomplish, that I want to accomplish in my life, in my family's life, and in this church. But it won't happen unless God helps me. It won't happen unless God intervenes. So guess what? I need some power. And there are a lot of things that we want God to do in our lives, but it won't happen unless we have his strength. I read it in Zechariah a few days ago in the one-year Bible. It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Now listen, I need God's help. Anybody here today want to testify? I need God's help in my life. And so Peter says, pray. Prayer equals power. So we focus on the power that we need through prayer. And that's why, once again, I'm calling everybody in our church family to 21 days of prayer and fasting as we begin 2017. 21 days, January 9th through the 29th, we're setting aside 21 days to put God first in the new year. And why do we fast and why do we pray and fast? Because that's what Peter said. He said, pray. When the end is near, pray. We need to pray and talk to Jesus. Now, I told you earlier, this year will mark 20 years of being the pastors of this church, and God's done some pretty awesome things at Grace, and we are just amazed by all of that. And over the years, people have asked me, hey, you know, what's your story? You know, what did you do? Everybody's looking for some, you know, magic trick or some one thing that we do. And I always like to tell them, listen, if I can explain it, then God didn't do it. But I'll tell you this story that the very first year we came to this church, I don't remember all the details, but I got hold of a book by Bob Rogers called 101 Reasons to Fast. And he tells the story of how he took over this church in Louisville, Kentucky that was just on just significantly hard times, debt problems, people problems, leadership problems. It was all kinds of stuff. And he called his church to prayer and fasting the first 3 days of every month. And God just did miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And I was reading these testimonies, and I was thinking, hey, I think he might be onto something. And then I searched the scriptures and studied, and I'd never really been a person that focused on fasting before. And we have been giving the Lord the first part of the year every year since here at our church. Most of the time, it's been a 21-day focus of prayer and fasting. And so I want to encourage everybody to join me to give God the first of the year by participating in 21 days of prayer and fasting. Because how many know, I believe this, and I think this church is a testimony to this. When we give God the first of the year, when we give God the first, it leads to unexplainable favor. Unexplainable favor. And we're going to do it again. Why? Because I'm not smart enough. We're not cool enough. We need God's help. Somebody say amen. Now listen, we're gonna pray every day here in the worship center for 21 days, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. That wasn't near the responses we were doing earlier, but hey. Now we moved it up a half hour from 6:30 to 6 because I want to give everybody the chance to get here to pray with us. We're going to have an organized prayer service from 6 to 7, and that will give everybody enough time to get to work, to get to school. Listen, I'm asking hundreds of you to join me as we take 21 days and we pray for one another, we pray for the church, we pray for ourselves, we pray for our families, okay? We'll give more details about that next week, but I want to challenge everybody. Let's give God the first of the year. Now, some of you have never fasted before, and you're concerned that you will die. I want to confirm to you, you will feel like you will die, but you won't die in 20 years. We've not lost a single one yet. But this Wednesday night, I'm going to, here in our midweek service, I want to talk to you about all the details of fasting and what that looks like and why it's important. I'll give you all the details on Wednesday. Hope you'll join us, encourage you, and how you can fast and how you can participate, and everybody can participate. And just a reminder that some of us probably should start to pre-fast this week and kind of deal with the sugar and the caffeine and kind of get the shakes and the headaches and all that stuff kind of out of the way. And I don't know if that's a word from the Lord or not, but, you know. So let's give God the first of our year. I also want to encourage everybody to give God the first of your day again by making a commitment to read His Word again. Over 500 of you committed to read the one-year Bible last year, and I don't think that's ever happened before in our church. So many people committed to daily reading God's Word. And I just want to encourage you, let's do it again. Today is day one. Do it now. Let's do it now. On your way out in the hub, there's one-year Bibles, there's reading plans, there's schedules, all different kinds of ways to make God's Word a priority in our life. Let's put Him first. Are you getting this? Now, some of you say, well, Pastor, I tried it last year. I made it to March. I've got 9 months to read today. It's not going to happen. And that's not even the point. The point is to make time with God a priority in your life every day, okay, by putting God first. How would your life be different if every day, the first part of your day, you gave that to the Lord? Through prayer and Bible study, I can tell you that your life will be radically different. So we need to focus on the power that we need, right? And then Peter says, I want you to focus on people. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. One of the things I'm challenging you to do as we put God first is let's focus on relationships, healthy relationships, at home, at work, and at church. Are you getting this? We got to get our relationships right. The scripture says that one of the ways we testify that we love God is how we love each other. Right? So we've been talking a lot about this in the upcoming year, but focus on relationship. And this is a great time for me to mention, we would love everybody to be part of a small group in 2017. Whatever it takes, sign up, enroll, talk to people. Let's get involved in small groups in 2017. And then the last thing that Peter says here is focus on people, focus on power, focus on people. And then the third one is to focus on purpose. I know it's going to come up here in a second. There it is. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Listen, we need to come to terms with why we do what we do. Why make the resolution? Why do we do what we do? It's because it's our purpose. We need to talk to the Lord about why we were born, what His purpose is in our life, why He created us, why He gave us certain gifts. Why we went through certain things that other people didn't go through. Well, maybe it might be to help somebody else. Are you getting this? And I want to challenge everybody that this is where the growth track will help you. Okay? I want to challenge everybody. Our goal is that everybody will go through the growth track. It's a class that takes place every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And the first Sunday of the month is step one, follow. We'll just talk about what it means to follow Jesus and the spiritual disciplines of that. And this year, what we're going to do is we're going to have people be baptized the week after the class, follow. So we're going to baptize people every month. Yeah. Step two is connect. We're going to talk about the vision of the church, the values of the church, how to get involved. Step three is discover where you're going to find your gifts and talents. And step four is serve, how we can connect and serve the community and serve one another in the church with how God's made us, okay? So focus on your purpose. Again, now, because today is January 1st, we're actually going to start step one next Sunday. And if you're new to Grace or you're not involved, or you say, hey, it's time for me to take the next step, I have a word from the Lord for you. Are you ready? Growth track. All right, start it next week. You'll be glad that you did. Now, I want to remind you what I said at the beginning, that 2017 will be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. Do you believe that? Unexplainable favor if we put God first. The name of the series is First. The principle from the Bible is First. And if we learn this, it will change everything about us. Do you believe that? So here's Coach Pastor Wayne. I want to put a challenge before you. Are you ready? Four of you are ready. Put Jesus first in everything. Put Jesus first in everything, in every area of your life. Is Jesus first? Now, I want you to watch what Jesus said here in Matthew 6. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Now, this is pretty powerful stuff because this is the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is saying, you know, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about where you're going to sleep. He's talking about houses and clothes and food, the stuff we tend to worry about a lot. And let's be honest, the stuff we tend to put in front of God many times. Jesus says, here's the way it works. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, peace of mind, material blessings, favor, come on somebody, all these things will be added to you as well. This is a test for us. Do we truly believe God's word? Do we truly believe that Jesus is, what he's saying here, actually will work in my life? Well, there's a lot of people who will testify that it does work. Listen, all these things are your resolutions. All these things are your goals for the new year. All these things are these things that you want to see happen in your family. Come on, somebody. He says, seek me first, and then I'll make sure that things happen. You get this? See, the order is important. We put the things first. And Jesus is just part of our lives. You know, he says, put Jesus first in everything. And then all the things will be added to you as well. So how do we do that? How do we put Jesus first in everything? Well, I've got a challenge for you. Here it is. Give God the first part of your year by participating in 21 days of prayer and fasting. The month of January, 21 days, give it to God. Give these 21 days, you're going to seek God, you're going to prioritize your spiritual life, you're going to participate in prayer, you're going to do your best to be here or watch on live stream. We're going to live stream those services, and you're going to fast at some level. We'll talk more about that Wednesday, but give God the first of your year. You'll never regret it. Here's the second part. Give God the first part of your day by reading God's word and praying. Now, it's important to read God's word and pray any time of the day, but I want to talk to you, I want us to think about the power of putting that first and how that impacts the rest of your day. But at least for January, let's do our best to put that first. You may have to get up a half hour earlier. I don't know what that's going to look like in your life, but try to put that first. And then give God the first day of the week, Sunday, by attending church services each week faithfully, every Sunday, every single one. Now, this challenge goes on all the time, I understand, but January, just the five Sundays of January, nothing else is going to take priority over this. Okay? And then, Let's give God the first 10% of your income as a tithe to the Lord. Again, this challenge is just do it for 5 weeks. Some of you are new to following Jesus, and this is the first time I've mentioned that whole 10% thing. It's called first fruits. And Deuteronomy says it's a way to teach us to put God first in our lives. So this is the first challenge on the first day of the new year. And let me tell you, now I know you have to think about this, and some of you are challenged by this, but I want to remind you that 2017 will be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to guide you and to encourage you, and maybe even provoke you in a godly way to put God first. Because if you work on your spirit man first, you work on your relationship with God first, if you put God first, all these things will be added to you. Remember, your end is near. So the scripture says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What do we do first? You put God first in everything. I want you to take a few moments as Pastor Steve comes. I just want to take a few moments to reflect on this and allow God to speak to you. You may even want to pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me in this new year? Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me about in this new year? So just take a few moments right where you're sitting. If you want to write some things down, write some things down. But I want you to seriously consider taking this challenge of putting God first. During the month of January, you're going to do all of these things. With God's help, you're going to do these things to put Jesus at the center of your life. Recently, I read a story about an atheist from Finland. He stated in his will that he wanted to leave his farm to the devil. So when he died, the legal system was a bit dumbfounded over how to honor this farmer's request or this atheist's request. So finally, after weeks of deliberation, the court decided that the best way to carry out the farmer's wishes was to permit the weeds and the briars to take over the farmland, to allow the house and barn to remain unpainted and eventually rot, and to let the soil erode and wash away. The court declared in its ruling, the best way to let the devil have possession of anything is to do nothing. So for all of us here today, the response we can't have is to do the same thing we've always done. Let's not give the devil 2017. Let's give it to God. Let's put God first in every area of our life. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a few moments? If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I'm not putting God first in my life. I don't have a relationship with God. And here on the first day of the new year, the good news is that God loves you. The good news is that God loves you so much, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, His firstborn Son. He gave you His first to redeem you, to save you, to give you eternal life. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you and you say, Pastor Wayne, today I want to make sure my life is right with God. I want to trust in Jesus Christ to save me. I'm ready to make a decision today to follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Christians are praying. How many would raise a hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to put Jesus first in my life. I'm ready to serve Jesus. Raise your hand real high. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to make things right with God today. Hands are up. Thank you, thank you. If your hand is raised, pray this prayer with me. Everybody that would like to encourage them, pray it with me as well. Would you pray it this way? Dear God, thank you for your word. I believe that you are first. I want to put you first in my life. I agree with you that I'm guilty. I've sinned and broken your laws. So today I repent. I turn around. I'm going to follow you every day of my life. I put my faith in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection to save me. Holy Spirit, give me power to serve you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody give God praise for these that raised their hand just now. Amen. Praise God. Now I know everybody that raised your hand means business with God, so here's what I want you to do. Before you leave today, on your way out in the hub, there's a Next Steps tent. I want to give you a one-year Bible. I want to give you a book called Begin, and just want to help you as you begin your relationship with Jesus, because these aren't just words that we pray. It's a decision to begin following Jesus, and we want to help you do that. And the good news is, when you follow Jesus, you're not doing it by yourself. God gives us a family. It's called the body of Christ. It's the church of Jesus Christ. So on behalf of the body of Christ all around the world and the family of God here at Grace Assembly of God, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Praise God. Now, I want to give one more altar call, if that's okay. So would you bow your head one more time? And I've debated and prayed about how to do this, how to issue the first challenge. Do I have people mark a card? Do I have people, you know, I don't know, but here's where I think the Lord wants us to do this. Your decision today is I'm going to accept the first challenge. I'm going to give God the first of the year by participating in the 21 days of prayer. I'm going to give God the first of my week by making a priority to be at the house of God every Sunday in January. I'm going to give God the first of the day for the month of January. I'm going to do my best to put Him first in my day, and I'm going to give God the first of my income. I'm going to give God the first 10% in the month of January. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. That's me. With God's help, I'm going to do it. Raise your hand. With God's help, I'm going to do it. Raise your hand real high. With God's help, I'm going to do it. Raise your hand real high. Come on, raise it real high. With God's help, I'm going to take this challenge of putting God first in my life. With God's help, I'm going to do it. Dear Lord, I pray for each one of these with their hands raised. Mine's raised too. Will you help us to put you first in every area of our lives, in our schedule, in our priorities, in our families, our choices? Today we choose to put you first. Now we pray for courage. We pray for wisdom to put you first in every area of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God praise for all of these people. Amen. Woo! You know what that means? Do you know what that means? You are going to have a year of unexplainable favor. It's going to be a great year for you. Amen. Praise God. Amen.